Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and that day, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter, when Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome went to the grave expecting to anoint a dead body, they saw the angel sitting there. And they said, "Where is Jesus?" The angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." I submit to you tonight that that's the greatest news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He has conquered the grave. He's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there's more proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than almost any other fact in Roman history. I don't believe there's a fact in ancient history today so well proven as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even if there was no proof, no historical proof, no scientific proof, and there is, I would still believe it, because I believe this book is God's inspired word, and the whole early church went up and down the country preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the thing that shook the Roman Empire, that a man had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that death could not hold him. Christ is alive. He's a living Savior.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
What hope the sweet,
hope the sweet assurance gives. That he who gave his life for me arose with healing in his wings. He lives, the tomb is empty still. Redemption's promise he fulfilled. No condemnation now remains. The stone of death is rolled away. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. On heaven's throne and in my very soul, I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and all my life is bound to his. In realms above he intercedes, our sinless Savior perfectly. No fear can follow where he guides, his constant presence is my life. No power on earth or heaven above can separate us from his love.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. On heaven's throne and in my very soul, I know that my Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives. In life and death I trust in him. My soul secure, my future safe. He'll not forsake me to the grave. He lives and he will not delay. My eyes will wait to brightest day.
and in my flesh shall see him stand, when Christ in glory comes again. And every eye will see him stand, when Christ in glory comes again. My Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, on heaven's throne and in my very soul. I know that my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, on heaven's throne and in my very soul. I know that my Redeemer lives, on heaven's throne and in my very soul. I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
That's the way we want to start this morning, is glorifying our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we get to worship Him together, as we sing out, "It was finished upon that cross." Let's sing this out together. Truth, you can be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. I want to welcome you to our Resurrection Day service this morning. We're so glad that you're here with us. If you're a guest, a special welcome to you. We're happy that you're here with us to worship our risen Savior together. If this is your first time here, before you leave, please stop by the back link area, the entrance area. There'll be a welcome team member out there. We have a gift for you before you go if this is your first time here. And we're so glad that you've joined us for worship this morning. I want to remind our church family that normally gathers on Sunday nights for community group. There is no community group meetings this evening. Also, during this morning service, we'll not be dismissing children for junior church, so kids can enjoy the Easter service with us together this morning. Let's bow and pray and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Father, we come to you today in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that he declared on the cross that it is finished. The war has been won for our souls, and we're so grateful that he guaranteed that with his own resurrection. We thank you that today, as a church family, we can gather to celebrate that. Every Sunday is a celebration of being part of the family of God and salvation found in Jesus. But this morning in particular, we celebrate our resurrected Savior. Help us to lift him up for one another and glorify his name as we sing and as we look into his word. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Jesus is risen,
He is alive. Look in the tomb, there is hope we can find. The curse has been lifted, we are forgiven. He is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen.
No other king could vanquish the war horse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. is that King? The King of glory, Son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for. The one to deliver us from captivity, the Son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic Law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other King like Him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other King like Him. There is no other King.
The King is in the room. Come see the scars of love upon His hand. The King is in the room. We'll watch the darkness flee at His command. Who is this King? Who is this King? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in His name. Awesome in power. Reigning forever. Light of the world. There's freedom in His name. The healer's in the room. Let miracles break out across this place. The Savior's in the room. There's no soul beyond the boundaries of His grace. There's resurrection power in His name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in His name. Awesome in power. Reigning forever. Light of the world. There's freedom in His name. Never been a love so great. He died so we could live. Then He rose up from the grave. Name another King like this. Now all of glory forever belongs to Him. He reigns in victory. Name another King like this. There's never been a love so great. He died so we could live. Then he rose up from the grave. Name another king like this. Now all authority forever belongs to him. He reigns in victory. Name another king like this. Another king like this. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. Awesome in power. Reigning forever. Light of the world. There's freedom in his name. Never been loved so great. He died so we could live. Then he rose up from the grave. Name another king like this. Now all authority forever belongs to him. He reigns in victory. Name another king like this. Never been a king like this. His name is Jesus.
Let's stand together and sing about Jesus. Let's sing about our living hope. Let's worship him as our living Savior today.
The morning that still the cross.
He's worthy, amen. He is worthy. We're going to continue singing. I want to focus on His grace. We have this living hope, and it's that living hope that gives us that amazing grace. And it's boundless, it's measureless, and it's free. That's what we get through Jesus. And I'm so thankful that I've got to experience His amazing love and His grace upon my life. And it has changed me forever. No more chains. There's no more chains. There's freedom in Jesus and His grace. Let's sing this out. Jesus today. Great singing this morning. You can be seated. We've heard many songs today emphasizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His power. It just makes sense if you think about it, right? The God who put the stars in the universe, the God who made the planets to spin, such a perfect order that He has made and created. All the amazing wonders of the world that we get to behold and see His handiwork. It just makes sense that, yeah, of course He's got power over the grave. Of course He's got power over sin and death. It's that same power, the power that raised Christ from the grave, resurrects hope in our hearts, establishes a relationship between us and our Creator, and makes our life worth living. Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus to remind them of this power. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, he reminds them, hey, remember, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Redemption, love, and grace are found in this same power, this resurrecting power. And it's generously and sacrificially offered to you and I. This is resurrecting power. Amen. That was wonderful. Thanks, guys. Great reminder about the resurrecting power of Jesus. If it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, our faith would be vain and pointless. But because Jesus did truly rise from the grave, we have hope that can never be stopped. The church in Corinth needed to be reminded of this resurrecting power and how it impacted their eternity in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Paul reminded them who it was who gives us the victory over death. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin and death would have the dominion if it weren't for the power of Christ and his resurrection. I want you to listen as we sing, Christ is risen.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcome home, the sinner now a saint. For the God who died came back to life, and everything has changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed you. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Choir, musicians. Through tears of joy, I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. We'll not worship Jesus in eternity in memory. We'll worship him in person. He is alive. Amen. Because he resurrected from the grave. I want to just remind you of a couple of truths from Scripture today that I hope will be an encouragement to you before we hear one last song in closing. Before we do that, I'll just tell you, just on a personal note, Mari has always wanted to go to France. Anybody ever been to France, Paris? She might, if she got me to France, she might be so fortunate as to get me to the Louvre, or the Louvre, as they say in France, to visit some of the art. I'm not a big fan of art, but maybe, possibly we could get there. Here's the thing about the Louvre. There are 35,000 priceless pieces of art there. 35,000. But everybody that goes to see what? You know the answer, the Mona Lisa, right? Chances are, if you're there, that's the one you want to see. It stands above all the rest. And the truth is, in a similar way, any resurrection is special. Would you agree? Anytime somebody comes back from the dead, that is special. And we, in fact, in the Old Testament, we see Elijah raise someone from the dead, Elisha raise someone from the dead. In the New Testament, we see that happen with Peter. We see it happen with Paul. They're all amazing. They're all worth studying. But the resurrections of Jesus are special. The Apostle Paul, or Apostle John, said this of Jesus, that in him was life. And that life was the light of men. That life just came out of Jesus. And he performed one resurrection that was special above all of the rest. The Mona Lisa of resurrections, if you will. The one that should captivate our attention, that we came to think about and worship him for this morning. And that is his own resurrection. Jesus accomplished his own. But I want to just go back a couple years into his ministry and think about the other people that he raised from the dead, because there's some really important lessons we can learn from them. Would you think for a moment with me this morning about the life giver, the one in whom was life, and he passed it on to those around him, even those that have died? Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were what? Dead. Yet shall he live." So four things we learn about the life giver. Can I share these with you just really briefly this morning? Number one, the life giver is activated by compassion. Do you remember this story? It's in Luke chapter 7. It's the story of the widow of Nain and her son. It happens in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus comes to this city called Nain, and when he comes nigh to the gate of the city, Scripture says, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Jesus meets this funeral procession, if you will, and it's the only son of his mother who was a widow. This was a very desperate situation for a Jewish woman. As you might recall from the law, the way that God set it up to work was that a woman was to be cared for by her husband, and if not her husband, then her sons. If she had no sons, her late husband's brothers were to take her as a wife and to raise her up some sons so that somebody could take care of her in old age. I mean, if you were a younger Jewish brother, you wanted to like your sister-in-law, right? If you didn't, you certainly prayed for the protection and health of your brother, probably every day. But seriously, this was a desperate situation for this poor woman. She has no legal rights, no property rights, no means of financial support. Her grief and her fear must have been overwhelming, and she needed rescued. And Jesus then sees her, and he's activated by compassion. This is really important. Because some of us today would say, you know what I need from Jesus? I need some compassion. I just need somebody to care about the trouble I find myself in. And can I just tell you that the life giver is activated by compassion. He not only sees your trouble, but he's moved to help hurting people. I want you to hold on to that truth for just a minute this morning. Because secondly, the life giver is permeated by hope. In Luke chapter 8, just the next chapter in the Gospel of Luke, we read the story of a man named Jairus and his daughter. His daughter was sick. He was a synagogue leader, and he came to Jesus, and it says that he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, for he had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. You remember the story, don't you? Jesus says, I'll come. And so they begin to head to Jairus' house. But while they're going, the girl dies. Do you remember why it took Jesus so long? Do you remember what he was doing? This is the account where Jesus is kind of following Jairus to his house. And all of a sudden, a lady touches the garment of Jesus, and she has this issue of blood for years that no one can heal. And just by touching the garment of Jesus, she's healed. But Jairus, as you can imagine, is beside himself. His servants come while Jesus is on the way and say, hey, Jairus, it's too late. Don't bother the master. We're sorry to tell you your daughter is dead. I cannot imagine this as a father. I have two grown daughters, and can I tell you that one of them was recently sick, and when they're sick, it's all you think about. It's all you pray about. It overwhelms you when your child is sick. I can't imagine losing a child to illness. Some of you have experienced that. You uniquely can empathize with this man. What a sense of loss. What a sense of frustration. Think about how he must have felt. Jesus took his time. The only one that could help didn't help. Jairus was probably losing his faith in Jesus and losing his faith that God was good. He certainly was put out, no doubt, at this lady who delayed Jesus. But here's the amazing thing. It doesn't even faze Jesus. Like, he's still smiling. It hasn't even slowed him down. In verse number 50, it says, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. Jesus says, why are you worried? I'm not worried. Why are you distressed? I'm not distressed. I've totally got this. Jesus, in a hopeless situation, says this, just believe. Believe. I can bring hope to a hopeless situation. I am activated by compassion, permeated by hope. But I want you to see the third person that Jesus raised from the dead. His name was Lazarus. You've no doubt heard the story. It's in John chapter 11, but it reminds us that Jesus, the life giver, is motivated by God's glory. He's motivated by God's glory. In John chapter 11, no doubt you remember the story when he is told, when Jesus is told that that Lazarus is sick. He says this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In verse number 15, he says to the disciples, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. I'm glad he died. I love him and he's my friend, but I'm glad he died. And here's why, that you might believe. When Jesus arrives at the scene, he's met by one of Lazarus' distraught sisters named Martha. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus says, "Hold on a second, Martha. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Martha, do you believe this? Jesus says, "I want you to believe. I want God to get glory." Verse number 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" I just want God to be glorified. Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, waited 2 days. He wasn't confronted by a throng of people. He wasn't delayed by doing miracles for other people. That maybe would be forgivable. Jesus just hangs out with his disciples and lets his friend die. Now, I like things to be on time. Are you like me? Like, I like a countdown. I like us all to be on the same time. I remember when people first started using smartphones and checking their phones for the time, it looked so weird, right? We were so used to checking our watches. People were pulling their phones out and checking their phones. But isn't it awesome? Nobody ever says this anymore. "Hey, what time does your watch say?" Like, who cares what time your watch says? That's not the time. The time is what my phone says, right? And it keeps us all together and all on time. I imagine that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, felt the same about Jesus in this situation. Are you kidding me? He's out there healing people? Doesn't he know his friend is sick? I mean, it's like on a Sunday morning, like if Jeremy's out having coffee at 10:45, right? We're like, doesn't he know? What is he doing? Like, we're counting on him to help us be on time. Surely when Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, he will come. And surely he will come on time. But he doesn't. He delays on purpose and Lazarus dies. But God gets glory. See, the Father's glory motivated Jesus, the life giver. But I want you to see, lastly, that the life giver demonstrated his power by resurrecting himself. Alistair Begg, in his book, Brave by Faith, says this. I think it's a great quote. "All it takes is for God just to lift a finger and everything changes." This is what today is all about. This is what we read about in the early service today. This is what our musicians have sung to us about and reminded us of, is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And his resurrection is unique. It's unique in that it was predicted, not only foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but he told his disciples he was going to die. In John chapter 2, he says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." 3 days later. It was predicted, but it was also permanent. It was the first permanent resurrection. All the others died again. Jesus is still alive. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7? It says, "He then is able to save those who believe in him to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus is not going anywhere. He is alive and he is eternally alive. Not only was it predicted and permanent, but his resurrection was powerful, self-empowered resurrection. What an incredible display. I mean, Peter and Paul couldn't raise themselves back to life. It's one thing to raise someone else. It's a whole nother level to raise yourself back to life. Remember what he said to his disciples in John chapter 10? "Therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again." And then it's as if Jesus says, "That's right, you heard me. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. And just in case you're wondering, I have the power to take it up again whenever I want. This is the commandment I have received from my Father." What incredible power. But here's what I want you to see. So Jesus, he's activated by compassion and he's permeated by hope. He's motivated by the glory of God and he demonstrates this incredible power within himself. But here's what I want you to see is that all of these things come together in a unique and powerful way on the cross. Ironically, in Jesus' physically most weak moment, he demonstrates these things in a powerful way. He demonstrates his compassion. He gives hope. He glorifies God and he displays his power. Think about this for a moment. What irony from a human perspective. The one who no one seems to care about, everyone is left, is full of compassion. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The one whose situation seems completely hopeless is bringing hope to millions. The one who is hanging in shame is bringing glory to the Father. And the one who seems so weak and frail is demonstrating the greatest power ever displayed. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 1? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to everyone that believes. This is the greatest power. His death on the cross is so full of ironies from a human perspective. Just think about a couple of them. His death became my what? My life. His shame became my glory. His guilt becomes my forgiveness. His weakness becomes my strength. My unworthiness is traded for his worthiness, which is what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says so clearly. For God made Jesus to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that Jesus took on my sin and my shame and my guilt and my unworthiness. And then by faith, he says, I want to give you my forgiveness, my holiness, my righteousness, my worthiness. So I just want to think about a couple of questions that relate with these four truths this morning. Number one, do you feel like you need some compassion? Jesus' death and his resurrection power demonstrate his compassion. Can I just remind you, Paul says this so clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together or made us alive with Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are in need of compassion today, can I remind you, God loves you. He sees your pain. Like the widow of Nain, maybe you feel like everything has gone wrong. What is wrong with my life? It's like every turn I take, it's just disaster after disaster. Can I just remind you that Jesus is rich in mercy? He has great love for you. Maybe you're battling difficulty because you live in a cursed world with the rest of us and you're dealing with some real pain as a result. Or maybe it's sin that's completely destroyed your spiritual health. Can I just remind you that he wants to raise you up by his grace. He has the compassion you are seeking today, and he demonstrated it on the cross and in his resurrection. But secondly, maybe you say, I don't need that. I just need some hope. His death and his resurrection power demonstrate the hope he wants to give you. A lot of people, if honest, would tell you they feel hopeless. I mean, we live in a pretty nutty world, don't we? And it can start to wear on somebody, and it can start to make them feel like their hope is fading. Did you know this is so sad that, but every year, 12.3 million Americans, it's estimated, consider taking their own life. 3.5 million, it is said, statistically, plan their own suicide. Why? They're hopeless. There doesn't seem to be any hope. By the way, there is hope in Jesus. If you ever feel that way, come talk to one of your pastors. That is a a real and frightening, difficult thing for some people. But there is no circumstance in which that is the best path. Even if your life has been very difficult and you've gone through recent loss like divorce or the loss of a job or a devastating health diagnosis, can I remind you that God is still good? As one of my friends reminded me this morning, God is always good. He's always good. He's still in control. He will be right on time. The trouble doesn't faze him. Like with Jairus, Jesus says, it's okay, just believe in me. I've got this. I'm not fazed. You don't need to be fazed. I have hope for you through my own resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul felt like this one time in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You might say, well, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul, back that up for just a second. I feel desperate and hopeless. The Apostle Paul was like this super Christian, super missionary. He felt like I feel. Well, let me just see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. We were staring death literally in the face. But then he says this, we decided we would trust in God who raises the dead. How about that hope? Like, I was so desperate, I thought I was going to die, Paul says. But then I decided I'm not going to trust in myself, but in the God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I'm not afraid today. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I serve the God who raises the dead. He is full of hope for you. He is activated by compassion for you. But thirdly, maybe you say, that's not me either. I don't need compassion today. I don't need hope. I'm just struggling with my faith. Like, I want to believe. I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ, but I'm wrestling with some things, some factors, and I'm just struggling with this. Can I just remind you that his death and resurrection power demonstrate how he wants to glorify the Father in your belief? He raised himself from the dead. What more do you want? You can believe. You can put your faith in the one who raised himself from the dead. Here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, well, okay, I get it. But I don't have the faith I need to believe. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not even the faith is your own. That is a gift of God. He has the faith that you need to believe in him to the glory of God the Father. Lastly, you need some of his power in your life. His death and his resurrection demonstrate his power over sin and death and hell. He has the power to raise whomever he wants, whenever he wants. He's the first fruits, it says, of those that believe. Jesus is the first one to raise eternally, and he can raise you eternally. Like the song says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives where? In us. Can you believe that? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. By the way, this is the key to understanding the celebration. Maybe this morning you say, I get it. I like going to church on Easter too. I'm just not sure what the hype is all about. This is it. And it's found in John 14, verse 19. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. The same power that is within me to raise myself from the dead is within you, Jesus says, if you will just believe. So the question is, how will we respond? There's a really interesting story, just briefly, in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is preaching in Athens. And basically, he goes through this long paragraph, like the Apostle Paul does, describing what he's about to say. And that is that Jesus is who he said he was. And then he says this, Whereof God has given assurance unto us men, in that he raised him from the dead. So in case you're wondering if you can trust Jesus, Paul says, just check out the resurrection. You can trust him because God put assurance on him by raising him from the dead. And then here's what it says in verse 32. It's kind of remarkable. Some said, I'd like to hear more about that resurrection from the dead thing. And some mocked. And remarkably, we see the same thing in our world today. There are people who mock the gathering of Christians on Easter to think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there are some who say, you know what? If he really raised himself from the dead, I want to hear a little bit more. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Will you mock, question, forget today? Or repent, believe, and worship? That is the point of Resurrection Sunday. Father, thank you for demonstrating in Jesus compassion, hope, glory, and power. And Lord, it is your will that your people would now demonstrate these things to the world around us. That we would show compassion to those who are hurting. That we would demonstrate hope in difficult situations. That we would glorify you no matter what is going on around us. And that we would live in the power of the resurrection. Would you grant these things in the name of our risen Savior Jesus? Amen.
What kind of a man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our obligatory traditions into a genuine and authentic relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but allow that same flesh to be torn apart for us?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal, insults, torture, mockery, and even death?
And yet live to tell about it?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with love and compassion?
Who could be strong enough to calm the storm and yet be meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed to the wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault and yet still endure the judgment others deserved?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who will love us like him?
Who will be with us when all else have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when I am drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, while still loving me and guiding me to be more like him?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who else can turn death into life?
Who else has a name that is higher than any other name?
Who else can speak life into someone who is without hope?
There is resurrection power in the very name of Jesus.
And he deserves all the honor, the glory, and praise. Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
turned the grave into a new beginning. Our God is risen, you're alive and free. There's nothing that can rise against your victory. Your name is higher still. Your name is higher still. The blood still flows, the work is finished, and hell still knows. The grave still empty, the stone still rolls, and you're still high and lifted up. You're still seated on the throne, the cross still stands, the blood still flows, the work is finished. The grave still empty, the stone still rolls, and you're still high lifted up, you're still seated on the throne.
The most important thing our church can communicate with you is the gospel message. The word gospel means good news. The trouble with most good news is that it isn't really good until you see it relative to bad news. The discovery of a new cure isn't all that helpful unless you or a loved one has the disease that it cures. In the same way, the good news of Jesus is good when it is understood in relation to the bad news of our own sin. We are all sinners. That's the disease we are all born with. And Jesus is the cure.
The good news that everyone can live forever with God in heaven, not because of anything we can do, but because of what Jesus did in our place. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The truth that everyone, everywhere, at all times in history needs to hear is that salvation is only possible by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ today? Would you be willing to pray something like this and mean what you pray from your heart? "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know I can do nothing to earn forgiveness and make myself right with you. Instead of dying for my own sins, I want to trust Christ and his death on the cross as payment for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my way and make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life." The Bible tells us that those that repent from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this way shall be saved. Would you believe on him today? And if you did trust Christ today, if you did pray a prayer like the one suggested a moment ago and you really meant it, would you let us know? We want to help you grow in your understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have more questions about putting your faith in Christ, and we have great resources to help you with that. The Exchange Bible Study is a 4-week study on the character of God that will answer most of your questions about the gospel. We have men and women ready and waiting to go through that with you in person or virtually, depending on your situation. Maybe you put your faith in Christ today, or maybe you did years ago, but you feel like you've not grown in your faith. We want to help you with that as well. We have literally hundreds of helpful resources and dozens of believers ready to walk with you through them. Let us know how we can best encourage your journey of faith in Christ using one of the contact methods listed below. Jesus Christ loves you and wants to spend eternity with you. May God bless you as you seek to live your life for his honor and for his glory.